Okay, I just muted you guys. One of the side effects of this job I've got is having control of the mute button. So, this is Lynn Free, and we're doing our Monday night conference call simulcast on the internet on BBS Radio. And as usual, this is a Seat of the Pants radio show. We don't usually bring on famous people, although occasionally we have Carla Ruckert. The goal of this show is to demonstrate that you can do nothing and something happens. And you don't have to do something. You know, when we started this show, I guess, which has been going on for about 3 years, when we started it, it was like, oh my God, I'm doing a show. I have to go out. I have to produce something. I have to make the public happy. And I said, but I don't want to do that. It's like, the real essence of this work that we're doing here is that it's not really about entertainment. It's about getting a reference point of these two group souls and probably even more angelic forces. Who knows? Because it's as invisible to me as it is to you guys. So we are all having this experience together, and many of you who have been tracking the work have been joining the experience of making what I call a vibrational connection to other dimensions, and you start to feel it. And when you start to feel it, it means you've expanded your hologram. And when you expand your hologram into these huge celestial arenas, you can't help but expand your hologram in your earthly life. So everything starts to look like you. And you start to actually perceive that we all are each other. And that there's only, this is a paradox, okay? Because if you try to understand this with your mind, you'll blow it. And the paradox is that we are all one, and yet we're all separate simultaneously. And it's a duality. And the mind will never figure it out, but your consciousness can start to grasp it, and it's something to be lived. Living in oneness and living in separateness. So we usually check everybody in. Mariel is saying hello to people. And let me unmute everybody. And I have a really good topic for today, something that really confused me for a long time. I'm grasping something that I think that you guys will share the understanding of it. And because it's something we're doing, and it's really subtle, and we're doing it on this line, we're doing it in the group, we're doing it on Message a Day. And I've kind of like looked at what we're doing and found kind of even a new way to describe it, if that's possible. So now we have all these people on the line, and I'd like them, those of you that would like to, I'd like you to say hello. And keep in mind, we're on BBS Radio, and usually people say hello and the city they're in, and let me open it up. And we haven't checked anyone in. Mariel may have a few, so we'll go segments of the country, and we'll start out with women only on the East Coast. And
all callers are unmuted.
Let's just get a yes. How many women do we have on the East Coast?
I'm here. I'm Donna in North Carolina.
Donna in North Carolina?
Yes.
And hi, Donna. And I heard another woman on the East Coast. Is Kathy on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Kathy, are you a woman on the East Coast?
No, I'm in the middle of the country.
Tennessee.
Oh, you're in the middle. Okay. See, I'm not very good at geography. I thought Tennessee was on the east.
I thought it was the Midwest, and it's the south.
Hey, Mariel, we're not up to California yet. Any other women on the East Coast? Any men on the East Coast? Any women on the West Coast? Mariel.
Yeah.
Okay, we got Mariel in Los Angeles.
And Beth in El Segundo.
And Beth, I'm sorry I didn't say goodbye to you. Did I say goodbye to you?
We're sorry we didn't get to say goodbye too, Wynn. We really enjoyed your talk. And I'm sorry it was so short.
Oh, my talk?
Yeah. It was great, and it just was cut too short, and I think they should have made more time for you because I think you were the best one there.
Well, that may have been true, but you know what? Those guys probably were checking out my own credibility. Could I, you know, I don't think they've never heard me. I just sent them an email, and I don't think they've heard me, so they put me on, and they put me on as a featured speaker, probably one of the best times for the show. And if I screwed it up, they wanted to get me off quickly, I guess.
But a lot of people were interested. They were writing down your information from the board. I saw them. So, you know, I think you really impacted a lot of people. So that was good.
Was that this weekend, Wynn?
Yeah. Who was writing down the information, Beth?
The people that were sitting around me. You know how you had the messageaday.net up there, and they could get the book, Questions and Answers with Elohim. People were writing that down. So I did see that happening. So.
I'm talking about the people, though, who produced the event, who were really beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were.
So they were giving you a lot longer time to speak because you were really good. And I talked to a lot of people and sent them there, and they were excited to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I'm just glad I had some time to speak because those of you that have been watching this for a long time know how hard it's been to get, can I say it, to get me in front of people with people that don't really pay attention to what I'm doing because it's so controversial. So I know I impacted a lot of people, and that's why I told you, Beth, to come to the workshop this coming week, and because I'm going to be there for 5 hours with Terry. We'll get to that. Just hang on. Okay, we have women on the West Coast. Any more women on the West Coast?
In Federal Way, Washington.
Okay.
Sandy Cottonwood.
Wait a second. Who in Cottonwood?
Sandy.
Sandy, okay. And who in Federal Way, Washington?
Julie. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Julie, and Federal Way. And I heard Terry in McDonald's.
Yes.
Marianne in Chula Vista. You guys that are listening on the internet, you might get that we don't wear a coat and tie to this conference call. This is come as you are.
I love it. I'm in my pajamas.
Pajamas, okay. But don't tell us everything, okay?
I didn't say what kind. You're the conservative kind.
So, any men on the West Coast? Oh my God, we got all women tonight. any men?
David.
Oh, thank you, David. David in Sedona.
Hi, this is Alan in Sedona.
Alan in Sedona.
We're doing Arizona. This is Karen in Tucson.
Karen in Tucson. Anybody else?
Carol in Arkansas.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
We got to get Ben on the line. What's going on here? Anybody else? Nobody wants to say hello anywhere, right? Got everybody. Okay. So,
All callers are muted.
So, what are we doing? What's really happening? I said I was going to talk about that. And, of course, this is just my perception. And please don't ever think that I always have everything right, because I don't. And, but I'm kind of experimental and scientific in the way that I approach this. And I observe very carefully what's happening and how things flow. And I'm sensitive to energies. And probably those of you that keep coming on the line are also sensitive to energies, or getting sensitive to energies, or opening up to this. Because being sensitive to energies is kind of like a new... Now, some people have been sensitive all their life, but for other people, they have the potential to be, and they never just looked for it. So it's something new. So when we're dealing in energies, we're dealing with the parts of ourselves that are not physical. And that's a new idea for many people, that you exist not just as a physical body. And we're not just dealing with ideas in our mind. So we're dealing with energy, and some of you have read or heard, I heard this, that things in the physical start as energy first. There's thoughts first, there's intentions, and then they download into the physical. So we are operating multidimensionally because we are consciously moving into the energy part of ourselves and then downloading things into the physical. And for some people, that's going to look like a new kind of openness or a new kind of loving that happens, that comes from within you. And it just happens spontaneously. And, you know, we're actually doing it. We're not talking about it. So often I've sat and listened to people, and they say, mankind has to love each other. And we need to care about each other. Well, saying it is different than creating an environment where it occurs. So that's been my intention in this group and on this line and in the work I'm doing, is to create an environment where love occurs as a spontaneous outflowing from you. And I've noticed that whenever I do these calls, there's a shift that occurs somewhere. And many people can feel that shift where suddenly you're not just listening to my voice, but you're engaged in a shift of energy inside of yourself. And something is occurring around this. And my voice is like you're listening to it, but it's not my voice that's doing it. And of course, I've had this experience of a lot of communications with these guys that call themselves the Elohim group and the Ra group, and asking them questions about all of this, and they say that's them, that they're monitoring this. And of course, when we say it's them, there is no such thing as, at the highest level of perception, there's no such thing as them, because they're us, or we're them. So what we're doing during this call is actually expanding our holograms into a greater level of expansion beyond the veil. For some of us that are experiencing that, I think the people that come in regularly are experiencing that. And occasionally, there's someone that just keeps hearing it in their mind and say, why don't I feel that? And I would say, just keep coming, and particularly come to the workshops and read the books, because it's not a mental process. It's a very spontaneous thing, and the way I've learned this, and I'm not different than you, so you can do the same thing I do. I mean, the difference with me is that I've had the opportunity to ask all the questions and get answers. But other than that, my intention and your intention and your ability to bring in these higher energies are not different. The answers help give the faith that if you keep invoking it, you'll get it. And why does it not happen right away for many of people? Well, I believe we're going through a process here that in the old days was called initiation. And maybe today some people call it that. I would not prefer to call it that because it's something, there's many things we're doing that tie in with, say, old formats of the way things were identified, like religion or like initiation. And those are old models of describing things. And indirectly, the words I would choose to use would be, we are gathering here and creating a reference point. And it's a reference point of how it feels to commingle our energies. And that's my explanation for it, that we're commingling our energies. Someone might have a different explanation. You know what? I forgot to record this. Kathy's going to hang on.
To begin recording, this conference will now be recorded.
Now, all these Monday night calls are actually recorded on BBS Radio. And if you go into their archives and you pay them so much money, you can get them. And what we're going to do is probably put up the archives and maybe charge a small monthly subscription so all our conference calls can be downloaded. There's like three a week. And one of the things in terms of a reference point is that if I'm correct, then there's a reference point of energy on these calls. And it's a new reference point for you. It's not something that you carry in your life. Then by playing the calls over and over again, whether it's the Matthew call or the Wayne call reading or this call, you start to ingrain that reference point into your beingness. And it's something that takes time. Because we are all carrying around what I would call luggage, baggage from our past incarnations, the way we've been brought up this life, hurts that we've had. We're carrying that baggage. And when you tune into a new reference point, and that reference point maybe is outside of our baggage. And then when the call's over, you've got your baggage again. And so you've got to learn how to let go of your baggage. And if you want to hold a reference point in your life, you need to create space. You need to create an emptiness. And you need to have the faith that if you let go of the baggage, the energy will come in to fill the space. I've learned that because I've had to do the same process. So I'm only talking about the very same things that I've had to do and my own growth, and that it's available to you. And they say very clearly that they, meaning these two group souls that are bigger parts of ourselves, that they're very much monitoring this call and this work, and that looking for opportunities to make the connection and hold the connection with people as they become ready, as they release their baggage. And you know, oftentimes people hold on to their baggage and they even clutch it because why? They're afraid. How many of you have ever been in a relationship that had huge amounts of difficulties to it, brought lots of sadness, certainly was not loving, and yet you wouldn't let it go? Why? Fear. Well, if I let it go, no one will ever love me ever, ever again. So I better hold on to what I've got. And besides, they're paying the bills, or they're giving, you know, I'm getting sex. No one will ever give me sex again if I let go of this. So we hold on. And you know what? How do you make space for something new when you're holding on to something that is not of the highest vibration, but yet there's the fear of letting go of it because nothing will be there? Now, let me just be clear that I'm not telling anybody to let go of their relationships right now. Please don't do that, because if you end up on the street, you'll call me up and say, "When I let go and now I'm on the street." So don't let go of your relationship till you figure this out for yourself. Letting go of the relationship may not even mean leaving the relationship. It means energetically detaching yourself from it so that you can do something that's higher than the relationship, in which case you've released the baggage. You see, it's not like you have to say, "I'm leaving, I'm homeless." You don't need to do that. You need to release the attachment. That's what frees your energy up to be open to an expanded hologram. And then, if you can actually do that, there's a significant chance that the relationship will reach back and say, "What's going on? She seems different. She's happy all the time." And suddenly, you'll have something to offer that person from an expanded space that you couldn't do before. Now, one of the things that I have been observing carefully, and I've heard this, and I can, and Matthew has talked about it, and, you know, there's this idea of sacred geometry, and I don't know if any of you've heard that term, but it has to do with the geometrical ways that dimensions are interrelated. And that what we're doing in this weaving of energies between us, trying to describe it, and Matthew has used this word at different times, making a crystal. And as the crystal starts, you know how a crystal starts? It starts geometrically forming itself, and then it keeps spreading because the things around it form to the pattern of the crystal. So it feels to me, and I don't understand this completely, but it feels to me that we who are in this group are creating a crystal that starts to get bigger and bigger, and other people can feel it, and it opens up the alignment so that it gets easier and easier for the energies to be picked up by people that are coming in or checking it out for the first time. And this is how something happens from the ground up that can change the planet. And that there's all these other groups out there that are doing something similar. And at some point, these crystals are all going to start to converge with each other. Now, this is the best case scenario, and that we uplift the vibration of our whole planet. Now, I like to hold that vision. It may not happen that way, but it's a nice vision, and I can see it happening in a small way. And if it happens in a small way, that crystal can keep expanding and changing, and more people start to feel part of each other and are actually experiencing this idea of oneness. And you people are the center of it for yourself. You all are going to have the abilities, and some of you already do, to change the crystals of the people around you. And you don't do it by telling them, believe in 2012 or when is talking to the Elohim, because they'll think you're crazy. You'll do it by just holding the space and not getting pulled into their reality system, no matter what, but not getting pulled into it because you resist it. If you resist it, then you're resisting them and you lose your ability to influence them. So it's not about resisting, it's about holding the space until they say, God, I feel better hanging around that person. Mom, what's going on? You're not as irritated. You're not yelling as much as you used to. What's going on? And suddenly, you're recreating your reality by holding this new paradigm of energy. And that is what we're doing here. And it's kind of a wild card because, you know, who knows how far it can go, how many people it can influence. And it's, to me, it's still an experimental stage, but yet so many aspects of it have proven itself workable. So many people, I get so many emails from people about what they're going through and the changes they're going through. And I didn't know that would happen. I would say when we first started doing this, it was a little scary. How do I talk about that? What are people going to think? Am I going to have fundamentalist Christians at my door picketing me? Who knows, you know? And so all of you who have been supporting the energy have really been, even though I'm sitting here in the middle kind of guiding this thing, you all are just as important as me because you are making it real. It's not about me talking and somebody following something. It's about us becoming a focused energy unit that holds this energy strongly enough for each other that each of us can be secure in it, and then we hold it for the world. You know, there was an interesting thing about the way the Elohim described that they created this realm. And I thought about it a long time, and then I thought about what we're doing, and there's similarity. And to share it with you, they would describe, before there was a physical realm, they would project a hologram. And with a picture. And now, can I understand this? Maybe, because sometimes when I daydream, I see pictures, even though I don't have eyes, I'm not looking at them with my eyes. They're coming up in my imagination, and I perceive them. So I suppose it's something like that, since they're energies and they don't have eyes, so they can't see a picture physically. But I can't quite imagine it, but that's the way they describe it. But the other energy forms, the other Elohim energy forms, could also perceive that same picture that one was projecting. And it would only be projected as long as the person had the intention. And then as soon as they dropped the intention, the picture would disappear. It was no longer visible. So what they found out was that if a second Elohim soul, now I hope I'm saying this right, maybe we'll have them make some comments, because I say things from my own perception, and I may get something wrong so they can correct it, but a second Elohim soul would then help hold the same picture, the same hologram. So now, with two of them holding the hologram. One could leave it for a bit, and the other one would hold it up. I wouldn't say that they were going to the bathroom, because they didn't have to go to the bathroom, but you get the idea. They didn't get trapped into being holding the hologram because somebody else was holding the hologram, and they could distract themselves and come back. Well, if you had 1,000 energies holding the hologram, almost you now have something that keeps staying there, and no one is trapped in having to hold it, okay? So now you have the beginning of the physical realm, because you have something that persists, that each being is contributing a small amount of intention, but when they stop paying attention or intention, it keeps staying there. It keeps persisting. So you get 1 billion beings or 1 million beings doing that, and it becomes very solidified. I'm sure this is overly simplified way, but intuitively I grasp it, and maybe you'll grasp it also. Because we have, where the problem came in is when the beings stepped into the hologram and they forgot they were creating it. So now we have billions or millions of intentions creating a hologram that has become a physical universe, and the beings that created the hologram, not all of them, but many of them, stepping into the hologram and getting trapped and stuck in it, because the hologram had its own rules. And if you could go into the hologram and not attach your energy to anything in the hologram, I would suspect that you could step out of it. But once you're in it, there's this illusion and you don't remember you stepped into it, and so we all attach our energies into the hologram, and we've forgotten that we are the creators of the hologram. So now, how do you do something that makes a contribution to uplift this realm? Well, we're doing it, actually, because one person is holding the hologram, and then another person is holding the hologram. And I can tell you that there's like 4 people. You don't actually have to do anything to be part of the creation of the new hologram, because the new hologram is at a higher level than what the normal is for most people in this realm. But say somebody like Suzanne, who's answering the phone and talking to people, or Kathy, who is handling the emails. Do you know what? If it was only me holding this hologram up, I couldn't do it. I couldn't hold my attention 24/7 and do all the things that were required. And as soon as I would drop it, it would fall apart. But there's enough people holding it, so regardless, I can drop it, and someone else will be holding it. And it doesn't even have to happen by agreement. It's not, because it's not on the physical level. It's not like I was supposed to write a letter, and I didn't have time, so I asked someone else to write the letter, and they did it. Yeah, that's on the physical level. We're talking about a creation on an energetic level where we're holding the space for a different kind of reality system, which some people call the new paradigm, and that not only in our group, but there's people all over the place starting to hold this new paradigm up. And so even if our entire group falls apart, there's another group that's holding it, and there's another group that's holding it, but we're in this group, and this group has the potential to have a lot of people help holding it, just because that's been my vision of setting it up. It's setting it up so it doesn't depend on me. I said, this is really important, and I don't want it to depend on me, because if something happens to me, it doesn't exist anymore. So there's many people, and you people who are listening are all part of the co-creation of this energy. Even if you're just sitting there passively listening, just the fact that you feel it, and you may find as you keep coming into the conference calls, and you keep exposing yourself to our materials, that more and more you're in this energy space when you're not on the calls, because you're letting go of your baggage, and you're moving into this new energy. You can't hold on to your baggage and hold this energy very well, because the energy needs empty space. It's an energy of the moment. It's an energy of creation. It's an energy that comes out of nowhere. And if there's stuff that's there, the energy will just back off. But if nothing is there, it flows in and fills the space. And that we are all learning, and this is something you can learn bit by bit of how, when you let go, maybe the first moment of letting go, you're going to spend fear. Oh, my God, I let go. And I'm telling you, letting go doesn't mean really abandoning it, because it's in the physical. You just have to let go of your attachment. And then the energy comes in. And what you'll find, or what I found, is that this new energy will recreate all the possibilities in your life much greater than they were when you were clinging to the old things. It's like letting go of the old things so the energy can come forth and attract new things at a higher level. And you can still keep the old things, but not be attached to them. That's at least what I'm learning and sharing with you all, and you can test it. Remember, I'm not telling you to leave your husbands or leave your wives or change anything, but to detach yourself so that you can move in and out of those things without getting caught in the energy 24/7 of that particular energy unit. That's where the trap is, where there's an energy unit that possesses your energy unit, and 24/7 you've got to maintain that energy, except it's at a level that holds you in a contracted space. So, it's, of course, it's free will. So if that's the space, if you're happy with that space and it's working, then fine, stay there. But if you're feeling these new energies and you want to participate with them, in a more grandiose manner, and in a way that transforms things, then learn to detach yourself without leaving, without making dramatic changes. Just detach yourself and move into areas where you're operating at this higher level of paradigm, and then move back to the relationship level that was at a more contracted level. And that's okay. I mean, this is like taking baby steps and learning that it works, i.e., you know, I'm always saying I'm doing an experiment. You do an experiment and do it where you learn to apply these things so they're workable and they cause changes of manifestations in your own life so that things come in a way that, and you're fulfilling a role and a destiny that's higher than the one you're doing now. And you're in a position to be of higher service and make higher contributions to the lives of the people around you. And the way you're going to do that is to hold a bigger energy than they're holding and let them open up to the experience of that energy. But it's going to happen not because you're telling them it's happening. It's going to happen not because you're their teacher. It's going to happen spontaneously as an expression of energy, touching energy, that is making everything around you grow in consciousness and awareness and love and experience oneness. So, on that note, do we have Terry still on the line?
Yes, I'm still on the line here.
So you see, I'm starting early. It's 6:40. So I'm actually, usually Some of you that are on DBS don't know this, but when we hang up from DBS or disconnect, which is supposed to be at 6:50, oftentimes we stay on the line, and Terry will do a channeling or we'll ask some questions. So any of you that want to record the direct telephone line, you're welcome to come in directly on the line. And the phone number is 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 37525#. 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 37525#. And then you get to check in and say hello and the name of your city at the beginning of the call. And you're also welcome to listen on DBS. Although they've told us in the channelings that the people that are on the phone line seem to get a better connection with the energies than on over the computer. And it has something to do with the electronics and the distortions that happen through the internet that seems to modify the energy somewhat. So Jerry and I did this great conference this weekend called the 2012 Quantum Leap. If any of you want to look it up, it's still up on the internet. It's www.212quantumleap.com. And we really didn't do any channeling at that conference. I gave a 25-minute talk, and we had a booth, but it was in Los Angeles, and there were some incredible people there, incredible energies, much higher than any other conference I ever attended. And you know, there's always the possibility, the potential that this work we're doing here would reach out and reach lots and lots of people. And one way that can happen is because all of you could share a message a day, and that would, you know, bring other people into this flow without trying to explain it to them. That's the hard part. Now, here I am going on talking. I said we were going to have them. Would they like to say anything, Terry? Are they there waiting to say hello?
It's more, they aren't close in to me right now. Maybe if you ask a question or something. I know that you were suggesting a question to see if you had creation correct.
Well, that would be a good question. We'll see if they say. Should I call in the light? Does that help bring the energy in for you?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies into the center of the Earth. And right now, we who free willingly choose to do so, we blend our energies, we braid them so we're connected. And we invite those sources, service to others, to join with our energies and create a huge hologram of light, and maybe ask the question or some clarification on the way that I was intuitively picking up and describing, A, how the universe works, and B, how that works through our own group in the recreation of parts of this realm, potentially. So we have about, 7 minutes, and I will turn it over to the source. It's probably going to be Ra'an, but you could identify yourself, please, and maybe share the perception on that.
Yes, this is Ra'an, the main part of the group that is answering this question. Is a section of the Elohim. We come to you today in joy connection between each person that is listening, both on the radio and on the conference line. We are happy to give you the answer to your question. The groundwork for a hologram contains the sectioning off of a part of all that is put together in simple language with mathematically correctly orientated energies that are formed into geometric shapes, which are then spun in the spinning, then consciousness is created and light is formed. This is the basis upon which one may then create a hologram. Then your description of how the group energies come together and each person holds the energy, creating a loving context which individuals may come forth and commune and communicate is very accurate. If you hold the energy alone, if the group did not hold the energy, then the energy would not be as cohesive and available to the participants. The more people that hold the energy, then you begin to form a hologram within itself of a consensus reality that supports the individual. That is sort of how the economic system works. So when the individuals don't hold the energy for it anymore, the confidence is lost, and the economic system loses its potential for the individuals to achieve economic security. This gives you a thumbnail, little picture of how events and how objects and concepts and holograms are created within the densities.
I have a question related to this.
Yes.
And that is, you know, you described that all these things are following rules of geometries and mathematics. And yet, I don't understand the mathematics, and nor does anyone on this line understand the mathematics of how these things are formed. So when we create intentions, and we hold the intentions to hold something up, is it through the connection with the Elohim that the intentions and the mathematics are manifested? How does that work?
Instigated by the Elohim or other forces, and once it is instigated, within some section of all that is, and this is a source within itself to maintain the focus.
So whether a person understands that they're getting help or not, And I'm assuming on an intention, which is a positive service to other intention, even on a planetary level, even on a prayer level, whether the person understands it or not, they get support that helps spin the hologram and organize the mathematical relationships so that a manifestation can occur and that person is leveraging themselves and their intention with the higher sources. Is that a way of describing it?
That is correct. And the energies are sustained not only through the intentions of the higher forces, but of the sources that are taking part in the action.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering that. And let's see, it's 6:50. This is the time we're supposed to be off of BBS. If you'd like to make any other comments before we close the show, we'll probably have about a minute. Thanks for going along with our Earth time and cooperating.
It is our pleasure and honor to be with you today. It is a sacred connection, and we feel heartfelt energy. Thanks for the participation of each and every individual on this line. Adonai.
Thank you. So we'll say goodbye to BBS. We'll let them, if anyone's listening for the first time and you want to delve more into the work we're doing, I suggest that you subscribe to messageaday.net, where we have transcriptions of our messages delivered every day to your inbox. And just the receiving of these messages and reading their words can help and does help keep you connected to the energies. And, of course, reading my books, and we have questions and answers with the Elohim and the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, both representing the output of these two group souls, two group energies that are a greater part of our own holograms. Reading them helps keep you in your own connection to the greater hologram and in the experience of being part of all that is, and not an isolated, lonely, disconnected human being.